And good morning again, and welcome to those of you who are joining us online this morning as we prepare to close out our series on prayer, certainly not close out our discussion of it, as it's such a vital part of what it means to follow after and grow in Christ. If you are in need of a refresher or haven't been with us, we've paused from other series we've been in, Hebrews and the Psalms, Summer and the Psalms, to just spend a few weeks talking about prayer and how important that is to our lives as Christians. We talked the first week about what it looks like and means to talk to God, with a specific emphasis and focus on praying the Scriptures as a way to kind of train us in how we are to pray and keep us kind of doctrinally aligned with who God is, using His own words to pray to Him. And we never outgrow that, but it is a great place to start, or a great place to recalibrate our hearts and minds as we pray to God. It's something that I pretty much every time in my morning devotions, I will use God's word to help as a catalyst to my own prayer life. So it's not something that we outgrow. And yet we recognize that a relationship is two-way. And so last week we began to move more into this idea of the personal aspect of our prayer life with God, in that there are just times and places where we are dialoguing, talking with God about the things that are burdening us, or the things that we're sad about, or that we are lamenting, or that we're angry about, or that we're grateful for, or our needs, or the needs of others that we're interceding for. And this is where Madison started to get into talking about praying with God. And the big takeaway for me from that, which I thought was so helpful, was this idea that you can leverage all of your thought life as an opportunity for prayer. And how often do so many of the things that go through our heart and mind end up staying there rather than being presented to God, who is desiring to work through and walk through those things with us. So that was really helpful and important, I think, for us to hear and recognize that this idea of unceasing prayer isn't so unobtainable if we think about it that way, that all of your thought life is an opportunity to bring God into your life through prayer. And then today, we're going to be talking more purely about this idea of prayer being a two-way relationship as we talk about this idea of listening to God, creating space in your life to be able to hear God's voice as He speaks to you. One of the defining characteristics of Jesus' followers that we read about in Scripture is that followers can listen to and recognize Jesus' voice when we hear it. Jesus gives this analogy in John chapter 10, where He speaks of Himself there as a shepherd and us as His sheep. And here's what He says in verses 3 and 4. The sheep hear His voice, the shepherd's voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all of His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And then at the end of chapter 10 and verse 27, He says again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we're going to be talking today about how do we hear God's voice? What does it mean to listen for God's voice? And we're going to zero in on one aspect in particular, this idea of listening prayer. But I do want to step back, zoom out, and acknowledge some of the other ways, biblically speaking, that we know God's people can and do hear from Him, hear His voice. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just to give you some examples and not have your takeaway from today be that exclusively listening prayer is the only way that we hear from God. So here's a handful of other ways. First and foremost, we hear God through Jesus. Now, you might think that I would start with Scripture as the number one way, and in many regards, by the end today, you'll hear Scripture is preeminent when it comes to hearing God's voice. But if you understand the Bible rightly, it all is meant to point us back to Jesus. That's its express purpose. And you may not realize this, but as Christians, oftentimes we'll use the expression, the Word of God, in talking about the Bible. In the Bible, almost always, when that expression, word of God, is used, it's in reference to Jesus. himself and not the words of Scripture. Of course, Jesus is the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word, and we have his words captured in Scripture, but the Bible is all meant to point us back to him. In Hebrews, the series that we left off on in the spring and we'll be picking back up in a couple of weeks, the very first two verses of Hebrews, do you remember what it said? It said this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he also created the world. So God speaks to us through Jesus. God also does speak to us through Scripture, the Holy Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, some would say God only speaks to his people through Scripture. Others would say, myself included, I disagree with that, that God does speak in other ways. But here's where the overlap would be. God will never speak to you, even in the other ways we'll talk about today, in a way that contradicts what is in the written word of God. Okay? So hear that very clearly. Third way that God speaks is through our circumstances. We see a myriad of examples of this throughout the Scriptures, just two that I'll give you. One is Job, when God in chapter 38 is speaking to Job, we're told through or out of the whirlwind, using the power of the creation he's made to underscore the words that he's speaking to him. It says God spoke to Job through the whirlwind. Jonah would be another example, to whom first God speaks with words when he tells him to go to Nineveh, but when he doesn't listen and he goes the other way, God speaks through circumstances when Jonah is swallowed by a large fish, we're told, and he finally gets the message. We could go on. There are so many examples in the Scriptures of how God speaks through circumstances. Fourthly, God speaks to us through other people. Christians have the Holy Spirit. We spent a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit in another mini-series we did back in the spring. And the Spirit of God that we are given as a gift at salvation, which dwells within us, he can speak through us into other people's lives. One of the ways that we talked about was in the New Testament gift of prophecy. So God can speak to us through other people. God can speak to us through visions and dreams. We talked about back in that series how we believe that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, continues to work in supernatural ways today in the same way that he did in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, that we don't see a good biblical basis to believe that he stopped working in those ways. And one of the things that the Apostle Peter says as he preaches in Acts chapter 2, and he's quoting from Joel in the Old Testament and talking about its fulfillment with the coming of the Spirit and the inauguration of the church, is this: and in the last days, he says, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And the important thing to see here is where some of those roles were giftings even were more exclusively practiced and seen in the prophets of the Old Testament, the playing field is leveled. Old men, old women, young women, shall, and even male females, male servants and female servants, all of them shall do these things. So the floodgates have opened, and how the Spirit now empowers God's people to hear from him. And so God speaks through visions and dreams. And then finally, for today's sake, God will speak sometimes through a still small voice. So there's this scene in 1 Kings 19 where the prophet Elijah actually has been, he's really discouraged at this point because Jezebel, a queen in the Old Testament, has this reign of terror going on, and he's fearful at this point. And so he runs from the situation, essentially running from God, and God kind of gets a hold of him and brings him up on this mountain. And in that scene, there's a strong wind, I don't know, a hurricane, a tornado, or just a strong wind that comes by, and an earthquake that happens, and fire, maybe it's lightning coming down from heaven. And we're told that the Lord was not in these, but then in the fourth way, we're told the sound of a low whisper or a still small voice, God spoke to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? So it's interesting that in Job, God speaks through a whirlwind, and with Elijah, a whirlwind takes place, but it was actually in a still, small voice that God chose to speak to him. This last way is most like the way I want to talk about today, that God speaks to us. Because one of the ways Christians can hear God's voice is in listening prayer. This journey for me began more intentionally, even if unwittingly I had been doing it prior to that, about 6 years ago. And I started, I was challenged to start a listening journal where a couple times a week in my morning devotion, I would just spend 5 to 10 minutes creating space in silence to listen and try to hear from God. And I would just ask a simple question. Maybe it pertained to something specific going on in my life, like, Lord, how do you want me to think about this person or this situation? Or sometimes more generally, I would just say, God, speak, for your servant is listening. And then I would just give the space for the next 5 to 10 minutes to filter through all the different thoughts and things that were going through my heart and my mind to try and discern the Lord's voice in the midst of all those other things. Listening prayer starts, I think, in quiet settings like that. But eventually, we begin to bring an ear of discernment for the Lord speaking into the rest of our busy lives. And in fact, I think this is even implied by Jesus' words in the analogy of the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep that we just talked about in John 10. Note when he says in John 10, when he, the shepherd, has brought out all of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. See, there's a dynamic quality to hearing Jesus' voice, kind of an as-you-go quality to listening for God's voice in all of life, where we may be about our work or about a conversation in our family that's taking place or some activity asking, Lord, what are you doing right now? Where are you in the midst of this? Or what are you saying about how I should or shouldn't participate in this? And we begin to strive to hear God's voice, not just in the still, quiet moments we create space for, but in all of life. But that's something that has to be cultivated and trained. So I want to talk about that for a moment, because it's not just that some Christians can do this, the super Christians, and then the others can't. All Christians can and probably do. The question is whether you realize that it's the Lord's voice that you're hearing. Let me give you an illustration to maybe help you with this. Probably all of us have been in a large social context before, picture like a wedding reception or something like that, where there's, you know, dozens if not hundreds of voices that are chattering excitedly, and all of a sudden you can pick out one voice amongst the hundred because it's somebody that you know well. It's a spouse, it's a family member, it's a friend, it's a child, it's a laugh that you recognize, an intonation, a tone that you're like, oh, that's so-and-so. Not because you see them, but you're familiar with their voice and you can hear them. See, if nobody that you know is in that setting, you could close your eyes and you're probably not going to be able to distinguish or pick out anybody's voice. But when you know someone well, when you've learned what their voice sounds like, then even in a large crowd, you can pick out and discern that it's them, that they're there. There's a scene that I love that kind of symbolizes this process of learning to recognize that the Lord does speak and we can hear and recognize his voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, this is when Samuel the prophet who anointed David later on as king was young, and he is being apprenticed by Eli the priest, and it's nighttime. They're both apparently asleep, at least Eli was, until Samuel wakes him up because Samuel hears his name called, and so he goes to Eli and says, yes, Lord, what is it that you want? And Lord is in his elder, his superior, not God. And Eli is like, yeah, that wasn't me. Go back to sleep, Samuel. So Samuel goes back to sleep, and this happens two more times. And finally, on the third time, Eli gets the point, who's been around, obviously, a bit longer and walked with the Lord for longer. He's like, yeah, I think that's the Lord's voice, Samuel. Next time you hear it, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And sure enough, the Lord calls to him again, Samuel, Samuel, and he responds, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, and God begins to speak into Samuel's life. He didn't even know how to recognize that it was the Lord's voice. It was something that had to be cultivated and discerned, and he had to be taught in. So how? How do we grow in knowing the Lord's voice in our life and discerning it? In short, it takes practice by long hours of listening and testing in the silent moments in everyday life. There's a scene where Jesus goes to his friend's house, Mary and Martha, they're these sisters, in Luke chapter 10. And Immediately upon entrance, they do different things. Mary sits down, we're told, at Jesus' feet and begins to listen to him as he teaches. And Martha goes to the kitchen and she begins to prepare food, and she's concerned about hospitality, which God loves hospitality. It's a good thing in and of itself, but Jesus was trying to make a point to both the sisters that day, especially Martha. She comes out, and understandably, she's perturbed by the fact that her sister Mary is not picking up any slack here and leaving all the hospitality to her. And she pretty brashly confronts Jesus and says, "Tell my sister to help me out." And Jesus says to Martha, "Martha, you're anxious about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her." And it's not to say that hospitality or doing other things other than contemplating our Bibles all day long is unimportant, not at all. But in that moment, Jesus was saying there's nothing more important than learning what the voice of your shepherd sounds like, learning to listen for the voice of your shepherd. So before we go on here, I want to acknowledge and recognize there are going to be some people who have reservations and fears about listening prayer. It seems more nebulous. It's less concrete. And there could be a variety of reasons for this that I just want to voice and acknowledge are legitimate reasons why people might have some pause or hesitancy about this idea of listening prayer. And the first one is some people have been on an abusive or manipulative end of this kind of thing, where people claim to be hearing from God and then going to that person and saying, "God told me this for you." And maybe they didn't hear from God because it was just their own opinion. Or maybe they even did hear from the Spirit in a still small voice, but the way in which they delivered this message, the way in which they said it, was without humility and with a tone that may have been condescending and self-righteous. And so there are some people who are going to be really gun-shy about entering into this thing of listening prayer because they've just been on the bad end of how this has been used in their life. Okay, so I want to acknowledge that. Today isn't the day in which we're going to go into how we should act on the Spirit's promptings when it's for others, prophetic words and things like that. We've spent time in the past in our Corinthians series and the series in the Holy Spirit talking about some different principles for speaking the truth in love when God imparts through his Spirit a prophetic word for someone. It's rather just to acknowledge that there can be legitimate pain here. And also for me to urge you that if you're in that place, not to throw out this possibility altogether because of what you otherwise may be missing out on that God wants to do in your life, okay? A second reason people might have reservations or fears surrounding this is because it just feels too subjective, where Scripture is the only thing that's objective. There's a concern here people aren't being biblical, that this is just a touchy-feely brand of Christianity where we are just being led by the whims of our flesh, which, understandably, the flesh is deceitful above all things, right? And desperately sick. Who can understand it, Jeremiah says. And so there's a concern here that something like listening prayer, saying we can hear from the Lord as we're praying, is not grounded in truth. It's true that it can go that way. But that doesn't mean that listening prayer isn't a valid way in which God speaks. One thing I want to just point out is that understand Scripture itself is not immune from being misused and abused. It can easily be misinterpreted and misapplied to our life or other people's lives. So that wouldn't be a reason in and of itself to say that listening prayer is an invalid way from hearing from God. Some would say if God does speak to us in listening prayer, it would only be through Bible verses, and I'm all for that. I think there have been many times in my own life where a particular scripture has come to mind, but I guess my pushback would be, which translation? The KJV? A very literal translation? The New Living Translation, which is much more of a dynamic thought-for-thought type translation? The Greek or the Hebrew that we don't even know? Which translation, then, does he speak in? As we'll talk about more in a bit, the important thing at the end of the day is what we're claiming to have heard from the Lord in listening prayer, does it accord with Scripture? Does it accord with what is true, even if it's not a verbatim quote from Scripture? Okay. A third reason people might have fears or concerns is this idea, man, I'm missing out, and I don't really want to acknowledge that. All my life, 20, 30, 40 years, I've been a Christian, I've not heard about this, I've not practiced this, and so it's easier to keep it at arm's length. Right, we can have FOMO about the things that other Christians are claiming they've experienced or that they engage in their relationship with Jesus, that makes us think, that feel insecure And I just want to assuage those fears and concerns and say, that would not be of the Lord. That's of the enemy. The enemy wants us to focus on ourselves and to compare ourselves to others. The Lord is just interested in growing you from where you are to where he wants to bring you. And if you're 40, 50, 60 years old and this is completely new to you, let me just say, like, you're never going to stop growing and learning about God and about how you enter into relationship with him. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, to know God. And that's a journey that will never end because God is infinite and we are finite. So it's okay if you come up against new things that you've never encountered before, because that's going to be eternity. For the rest of your life, you're going to be coming up against deeper truths about who God is as we walk with him in eternity as Christians. Fourthly, a concern or a fear that people might have is that they feel that they're no longer in control if they open themselves up to listening prayer. Now, just talking to God, that's okay because I can control the narrative if I'm just telling God what my needs are or praying, you know, the truths and praising him for who I know him to be. But if I listen to God's voice, if I open myself up for him to speak, well, that feels vulnerable because God might actually speak. And he might actually tell me something that I'm not comfortable with about who he is or something about myself that he might want to change. So this idea of, okay, now you speak, God, and I, your humble servant, will listen, may be uncomfortable because you may feel vulnerable and no longer in control. An analogy I heard actually that was helpful is this idea of, and I am not endorsing this, okay, this is just an illustration, online dating with avatars. I don't know if you've heard it. I didn't even hear this until I heard the analogy, where you curate this avatar that is the perfect version that you want to present of yourself as you meet other avatars, and they perfectly curate and present who they want you to see about them. But there comes a point where that's just not satisfying enough. And so people will risk getting together but in person, but when they do, what happens? Well, now the charade, the facade is gone. All the flaws are on display to be seen. It's very vulnerable. You're no longer in control. It may be similar for some people with this idea of listening prayer, when you're really just saying, God, you show me now what you want me to see about my own heart and about who you are. So that could be another source of fear. So of all the kinds of prayer that we've talked about so far, speaking to God, using the scriptures, talking with God, using the ACTS model that Madison talked about last week, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, not controversial. Listening prayer, probably more controversial of all of those because it feels more subjective. Who's to tell you that you're wrong? So let me say it again and say it clearly. Scripture is still preeminent when it comes to discerning what is and is not the Lord's voice in our life. It is the starting point and it is the ending point. You can't develop an ear for the Lord's voice in your life without being well acquainted with him through the scriptures. Not just even memorizing, but truly understanding and communing with him through who he's revealed himself to be in the scriptures. And then on the tail end, anything that you hear in listening prayer has to be measured up against what the scriptures say as the final test. And by the way, that should also be done in community as well, with the accountability of a multitude of other people who know God and have the Holy Spirit within them, okay? Now, I also want to say, listening prayer may be the most important form of prayer. Why? Because hearing and obeying God is at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Christ. You already heard me read during the dedication earlier from Deuteronomy, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. I'll read it again. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That word "hear" that's used there in the Hebrew is a difficult and complex word to interpret, to translate. And there may actually be a better word to capture the essence of what it means, which is to heed, which means to listen so that you can then obey. The question, though, is if you would say, well, but we have the scriptures to tell us what it is that we should obey. Yes, and amen. But sometimes that's just overwhelming to me. The whole counsel of God's word that I need to be obedient to at any one given time. And so I think this is where listening prayer can actually be very freeing. Because as we go to God in prayer and we say, God, what do you want from the whole counsel of your word for me to understand about how to follow you, about yourself, or about what you want me to change? He can zero in and fine-tune that in accordance with something that's already in the whole counsel of his word. That's what I found in my personal experience. I'll share examples of that later. So listening prayer allows God to narrow your focus on what you need to hear the most for that moment. So what's the basis for listening prayer? Just a few different things. First of all, we have an Old Testament precedent that God speaks, that you can hear his voice. We know that God spoke in this way at one time, presumably with the prophets in the Old Testament. And by the way, we're not told whether it was always audibly as God's words are recorded, or in more of that still small voice inwardly that the prophets heard God's voice. But they heard from God in this way. So number one, it would be odd for that form of communication by God to have completely ceased at some point in history, no longer to speak in that way. Secondly, we see the example of New Testament prophecy, which I alluded to earlier. As I said, we months ago talked about the Holy Spirit, that at Terra Nova, we, if you want to put a label on it, we would say we're continuationists, where we believe that the ways that the Spirit has gifted the church that we see in the New Testament, the book of Acts and on, Corinthians, that the Spirit is still alive and well and working that way today. Okay? Now, I will be clear to say that the gift of prophecy God gives some people today is not on par with Scripture. It always has to be measured against Scripture. Defined, we would say prophecy in the New Testament is revelation from the Holy Spirit to a person that they, something they couldn't have known otherwise, for the purposes, Corinthians tells us, of strengthening, comforting, and encouraging, and also tells us it's to be tested against the Scripture. Why do I bring up this example? Because by implication, if God gifts some of his people today to have this gift of prophecy, then they have to have heard from God in order to be able to actually practice that gift, okay? So there's an implication. People hear from God, even if it's just confined to the realm of prophecy. Thirdly, and this one may seem strange, but I would say one reason I would say, biblically speaking even, we know that you can hear from God, you can listen from God, is because we can hear the enemy. So why would we not be able to hear from God? I actually don't know any Christian who would say that the enemy, Satan, the devil, his minions and his workers can't influence our thoughts, whisper lies to us, or tempt us, so why wouldn't God speak in this way? There's a story a friend told me years and years ago. He was traveling for work, and a strong Christian, he was at a hotel, and he was in his room, and there was just this moment where all of a sudden, he just this inward voice said, look in the drawer of that bedside stand. There is a brand of adult magazine in there that you'll find interesting. And sure enough, he goes over and he slides it open, and it was an adult magazine. And he's like, okay, I know where that came from. That was not of the Lord. That was of the enemy. Here's the thing. We are spiritual beings as well as physical beings. There are ways in which spiritual beings can communicate with each other. And one of the ways that it seems that Satan does that is through influencing our thoughts, the thoughts of our heart and our mind. So would God allow the enemy to communicate in this way, but himself remain silent? For the only voice that we could actually hear inwardly would be that of his arch enemy. No. In our series on the Holy Spirit, just to talk about more affirmative, positive examples of this, we talked about how in John 14 through 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples says things like, when I send to you the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. When I send to you the Holy Spirit, he will bring to remembrance all that I have taught you. And while there is an application of that that is particularly unique to those who wrote Scripture, the consensus largely amongst scholars is that there's application of that for believers as well, believers today as well. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings to mind God's voice, the one who is speaking to us when in listening prayer we hear from God. All right, so the last thing I'll say before I move on to some personal testimony here is if you're still skeptical, still uncomfortable with this idea Maybe the thought in your mind is, I don't know, this seems nebulous, subjective, I'm not sure it's clear to me from Scripture where God will actually speak to his people in this kind of way. Why risk it? The question I would ask you is, what are you risking missing out on yourself personally or robbing other people of the opportunity for if you never acknowledge and practice this kind of prayer? It goes both ways, guys. Sometimes when confronted with new things or supernatural things that some Christians are trying to point to from Scripture as a way God wants to relate and work in our lives today, we hold it at arm's length because we think we have nothing to risk if we don't enter into the unknown. And I would say actually we do. And that perhaps one of the reasons why sometimes there's a lack of vitality in God's church is because of us keeping things like this at arm's length, okay? So we need to be aware of the risk in both directions. So I want to just share some personal examples from my own life where I believe that I've heard God's voice through listening prayer. Maybe once or twice in a way that was more audible-ish. Very, very, very rare for me and most Christians, it seems. For me, it's been mostly just kind of an inward strong sense of God saying something, sometimes kind of like a still small voice. I don't know how else to describe it. So here are a few different examples. I was at a conference years ago for spiritual growth in general, and the first night, wisely, the conference speaker said, it's really important if you're going to experience healing and growth in the Christian life that there's not any undealt with sin that needs to be repented of. Otherwise, it's pointless trying to move forward because that's going to be a block to you. And so he created this space for those of us who are present there to practice listening prayer and just ask, Holy Spirit, would you show me if there's anything blocking me right now from any sin that I wasn't aware of or that I am, but I've been kind of living in the darkness with. And so as I was praying, what came to mind in just a clear way was, persevere, Daniel, in what you already know to be true. And just a little bit of a background for me, I was in a season where I was just kind of overwhelmed by a lot of different areas where I felt like I was falling short, where I didn't know enough or understand enough to continue to grow as a Christian. And so in that moment, the Lord said, persevere in what you already know to be true. And it was both convicting and freeing for me. The convicting part of it was I was convicted about the fact that there were things God had made clear to me that I was not being faithful with. And he was showing me those things. And I realized, okay, I need to just be faithful in these things and leave the other things to God. And that was the freeing part for me. Was it all those other things out there that I felt like didn't know enough about or wasn't being obedient enough in? God was saying, you need to just be faithful with the things that are right in front of you that I've shown you, that I've made clear to you. Now, when it comes to discerning, is that the Lord's voice? How does that measure against Scripture? All kinds of scriptures came to mind that would back this up. One of them, Luke 16:10, whoever is faithful in little is also faithful in much, was one of the passages that came to mind. So I was trying to be faithful in much without being first faithful with the little that God had put before me and made clear for me to do. But what really has stuck with me is persevere in what you already know to be true, even if that's true and biblical and scriptural and can be backed up by Scripture. Another example, there was a season of life where my wife and I, for an extended period, were just experiencing some conflict in our marriage. And Leah was expressing some needs that she had that were deep and fundamental and valid, but I couldn't reconcile those needs with other obligations that I knew that we had as a family, and so I would get angry when she would bring those up, because clearly God couldn't be asking us to do this despite these things being important, because how else are we going to do this? And so out of spite, I said, fine, I'll go away and I'll pray about this and fast for a couple of days. And so I had the luxury to do that and carve out some space and time, fully expecting myself to be vindicated in my perspective. And instead, what I heard during a time of just silent contemplation and prayer was, Daniel, put your family in a position to thrive. And the interesting thing about it is when I came back and I began to share with Leah my takeaways, we both felt actually it wasn't a change in circumstances that was needed. But the Lord did a deep work fundamentally to change my heart posture towards my wife and my family and their needs. put your family in a position to thrive. And so all kinds of scriptures also accompanied this to back that up. Philippians 2, count others more significant than yourselves. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. 1 Timothy 5 was actually critical to me and came to mind in support of that, which is if you don't take care of your own family, rather, you're worse than an unbeliever. That weighed heavily upon me. Or Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ does the church and laid down his life for her, washing her with the water of the word. Why? So that he can sanctify her and make her a pure and holy bride before himself, and that is part of my role. Put your family in a position to thrive. That's what I heard. One last example. There's another time in my life where I was feeling particularly overwhelmed by circumstances that seemed in every arena and facet of life that I was responsible for. And it just felt like things were spinning out of control that were beyond my control. It just felt unfair. I was like, God, like, how can I be fruitful in these things you call me to do when all of this is happening and I can't do anything about it? It's not my fault. And it was like, boom, interrupted right in the middle of that. Thankfully, I was praying at least. It wasn't the greatest prayer. I was complaining, but the Lord graciously intervened and interrupted me. He says, but that's the point, Daniel. You need to learn to live and to lead in the midst of chaos. That's the only time I've ever been interrupted. He should do it more often because a lot of times I'm probably wrong about what I think. But there are passages of scripture that had already been important to me that this just brought home in a deeper way. Like 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul says, my grace is sufficient. Well, this is God saying to Paul, or Paul realizing, my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. I realized all of a sudden in that moment, like all these things that, you know, tasks that I was trying to check off that I was defining as fruitful, and God was saying, no. All this chaos isn't by accident. It's there because the most important thing is that you depend upon me, and in that, I will bring forth the fruitfulness. So these are just a few examples of ways in which, all in the context of listening prayer, sometimes when I was silent and pensive and calm, and other times when I was just grumbling and complaining, the Lord graciously interrupted and intervened and spoke these truths that have been incredibly fruitful in my life. So some final thoughts. Where would we start? Where would you start if this is something that is unfamiliar to you, but you want to lean into? I would encourage you to start where I did. That's all I can do is speak out of what I know. A friend challenged me to start a prayer journal, where for 5 to 10 minutes a day, or even if you can do it once or twice a week, you just are silent in prayer, and you invite the Lord to speak into your life, and you write down whatever comes to mind. You take a risk to trust that some of the thoughts that you may have are just random, but they could be of the Lord. You write them down. Some people, by the way, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past too, biblically ways we see this happen, some people in listening prayer will hear God more through a picture that comes to mind, or a vision that they have, or a word that flashes across their mind, or like we've been talking about, that still small voice or a deep impression that isn't any of the above, but you sense as the Lord speaking to you. And then what do you do? Well, after, you know, you've done this for a while, or even if you feel like the Lord has said something to you, you take that to a friend, or you take that into your community, your tribe, others at Terra Nova, and you say, hey, this is what I sense that the Lord is saying to me. First of all, do you think this is biblical? Second of all, do you think it aligns with kind of my journey as you know it? Would that make sense for God to speak something like this into my life? And then what do? You put it into practice. What I have found is there's been a lot of things that I'm like, I wonder if that was God. It was probably just my own thought processes. God's given us brains, too, to bring to mind things that we've learned in the past. But when you put them into practice and then you revisit them weeks, months, years down the road, you begin to see, like, in hindsight, much more clearly which things were probably the Lord speaking to you because of thematically how those things have been reinforced and come up time and again along the way. This is kind of just birdshot at this point in time, capturing some things I want you to hear before we close. Just note a characteristic of the examples I gave from my own listening prayer. All of them that I shared were deeply humbling. So it wasn't just God patting me on the back and telling me how great of a Christian I was. In fact, I would assume that that would be the exception to the rule, except for when God is reinforcing how great he loves us. So characteristic of listening prayer, I think, for a lot of people is humility, humbling. Because it isn't necessarily the stuff that we would pick out for ourselves that we need to go deeper in who God is or what he wants, where he wants us to change. The other thing I would say is the lion's share of what I discern might be the Lord speaking in my listening prayer, like 90 to 95%, is for me and not for others. I believe that it's probably a good principle that God cares more about growing you than he does how you are so necessary to help others to grow. And so what happens is that when God is transforming you through what you're hearing from him, he produces holiness in you, humility, gratitude, grace, love. He's forging Christ-like character in you so that when you are in a position to share something with someone else, a word of encouragement or truth or maybe even a prophetic word, it can be received with a lot more credibility because there's a trust there, because they're also experiencing the essence of Christ in you. It's what we talked about during the baby dedication, right? Like, it's not just doctrine that people need. They also need to see Christ embodied and lived out. And when you put those two things together, it's powerful. So just be careful, I'll say then, that if you find yourself hearing the majority of the time for other people and not for yourself, you might be more of a critic than you are a prophet. And that might not all be the Lord, okay? All right, as we prepare to move into a time of worship and prepare our hearts for communion, I want to acknowledge one of those fears we talked about earlier and then just apply the gospel to it for you this morning, okay? So earlier we talked about how it's one thing to talk to God when you control the narrative. It's another thing to listen because we might not like what we hear, right? So listen, this is a delusion from the Garden of Eden on, where if we hide, then we'll be safer or more secure than if we come naked into the light, right? The reality is the opposite. John in 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. See, through Christ, there's safety in the light and intimacy, the things that we really long for and desire. So don't listen to that delusion like Adam and Eve did, that once they sinned, what they really need to do is hide from God and cover themselves because they're ashamed. Listen, listening prayer that we've been talking about today isn't subjecting yourself to a harsh, mean, vindictive God. Jesus came so that we could come boldly, without shame, into God's presence. Not long ago in Hebrews chapter 4, we read about what Jesus accomplished for us and the basis upon which we've been granted bold access into God's presence. In verses 4 to 16 of chapter 4, we're told, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows what it is to live in a fallen and broken world. He doesn't begrudge us the struggles that we have. But we have one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So that's how he could be our high priest. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. He took upon himself our sin and our shame so that we could walk out into the light, avail ourselves to transparency and community with others, and in listening prayer with God, and understand that there will be full acceptance because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. And if we don't do this, if we only pray to God, if we never listen to God, then we're just curating a version of ourselves that keeps hidden all the parts of us that only God can heal and only God can deliver. So it's only fitting that we spend a bit of time now as we prepare to close in listening prayer. So I'm going to give you maybe a space of a minute or two, just in silence, to spend some time listening. Now, don't put any pressure on yourself, okay? This takes time, and it takes practice. You may not hear anything in just a minute of silence, but you also might. You don't have to be a professional Christian to hear from God. And maybe he's already been speaking to you in the course of this day, or even this message, kind of the as-you-go concept of what the Lord was saying when he was talking about the sheep hearing his voice as they follow him. So then, in this time you're about to have, just ask, Lord, is this from you? Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Lord, would you confirm this? Or maybe just more generally, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you do think that you hear something this time, take a risk, write it down. Go back to it later, pray on it, bring it to others. If you don't hear anything, don't worry about it. There's lots of times where I don't hear anything, and I just praise God for what I know he's already said that's true in the scriptures, okay? So I'm going to give you like a minute or so just to be silent. And then at the end of that time, I'll just close us in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a God who wants to commune with us. And we look no further than communion and the cross for your proof of that love. That to make a way for us to be restored and healed, you sent your only Son to die for us, cover our sin and our shame so that we could come boldly before you, come into the light, and not worry that we'll be destroyed, but actually find healing. Father, even now as we pray together, I just sense that you're calling us to look up. As we're tempted to look down and consider all of our weaknesses and failings, you're calling us to look up because you are for us. And if you didn't withhold your only Son from us, then how could it be that you would withhold anything else? You've proven that you are for us through giving your only Son for us while we were still sinners. Oh, Lord, I just pray that your gospel would wash afresh over our hearts and minds and that we would find a renewed desire to enter into deeper communion with you through prayer, and that we would know that as we do, anything that you reveal to us would be for your glory and our good. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.